The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, the Good the Walls didn't get herself ejected in the state final for some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mike, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Bird's Eye View, Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. I am Mike Walsh. I am not Jesse Kolodkin, as you may be aware. Jesse went down to New York City, New Jersey, where the Knicks play. Yesterday for the day and is not back yet. He wanted to.
He may never be back.
He may never be back. Yeah. I checked at halftime and the score was what it was, where the Knicks were getting kind of flattened. And I was like, ooh, that's a tough commute to make to see, to be around that. But then obviously, yeah, they came back and won. So congrats to him. I guess in his column about it, he wrote that he's a Knicks enjoyer. Which I don't know what that means.
Well, as we know, for those of us who don't know, he's a Nets fan.
Okay, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you can it's two teams in the same city. I think that's not, I think if you're a big fan of one team, I don't think Mets fans call themselves Yankee enjoyers.
No, but Jesse's a unique individual where his background is fairly unique. That's Howard Herman. Howard's going to join me today. Western Mass Baseball Hall of Famer Howard Herman as of Friday night, Saturday, over the weekend. Howard and I were both at a state semifinal last night. I was at a state semifinal 2 days ago as well. We are unfortunately done. The spring season for Berkshire County High School Athletics has come to a close about 4 days early, unfortunately. We will not be out in Worcester at Polar Park, nor I guess it was Worcester State for this weekend softball, but Drury Baseball, Lennox Softball both fall in the Final Four. So we can talk, I guess, a good amount about that, but yeah, overall, it's sad to be done early. This is our second straight we don't make it to the final weekend.
This is true. Second straight year. This, of all of the state finals in the four sports remaining, mm-hmm. and that's baseball, softball, and boys and girls lacrosse, there is one Western Mass team still playing.
Oh, dear.
And that's the Longmeadow Boys in Division II lacrosse.
Ah, okay.
This is the first time since 2018 that no Western Mass team has made a state championship game in baseball or softball.
That's tough. Yeah, so I know Hopkins Academy lost. I believe Hampshire Softball lost. These were all kind of Final Four teams on the verge. But our two teams, watching yesterday's game, we were out at Westfield State for Lennox Softball, the 9 seed in a Final Four. They were facing number 4 Maynard. The day before was number 4 Drury Baseball taking on the 1 seed English High out of Boston. And the games were cut from the exact same cloth right out of the gate, in that both of the Berkshire teams were the designated away team, lower seed, whatever. So had first ups. And both had the higher-seeded starting pitcher, I kind of think, on the ropes a little bit, or at least enough that, when you're a lower-seed underdog, you need to put doubt into the minds of the opponent, the favored team, right out of the gate. And both were kind of on the verge of doing just that and throwing these games for an early loop, which I think is really, one of the only ways you're going to win a game like that, Lennox was a 9 seed in this game. And both, unfortunately, Lennox left the bases loaded. Drury left runners on second and third in the first inning. And from there, kind of got shut down entirely.
They did. I said to somebody yesterday, might have actually been Maynard coach Jay Rashi. We were talking mm-hmm. after I interviewed him.
Great accent.
And if Lennox scores in the first inning,
yeah,
that's an entire. I'm not saying
totally different game. Yeah,
I'm not saying they would win, but it's an entirely different game. They with one out, Grace Giuliano singled, Cassidy Flynn walked on four pitches, mind you, and then Lexi Witherell reaches on an error. So you got the bases loaded, one out. All Maddie Carlin, the Maynard pitcher, did was strike out Lily McDonald and Amaya Alger. Gets out of it. Carlin struck out 14.
Yeah.
Her coach said
she struck out 8 of the first 9 outs.
And I would argue that Giuliano hit the only two balls that were hit with any.
Yeah.
With any force.
Yep.
She got it, you know, she singled in the seventh inning when Lennox scored its run, and she of course had that single in the first inning. But you score a run or two there and it's much different.
That's just doubt. Yeah, doubt creeps into Maddie Carlin, who had the crazy game. Doubt creeps into the whole Maynard side, and all of a sudden they're the ones coming to bat with that hanging over them. Instead, Lennox, you feel like, you know, the wind gets out of your sails a little bit there. The game was still scoreless into the third, fourth inning?
Into the third, Maynard scored two.
Two, and then it's 2-0 the entire
game.
But
then in the top of the fifth, Lennox loads the bases again.
Yes.
But the only problem was it came with two outs, which limits what you can do.
Yeah, and you can kind of sense it that, like this girl was throwing probably, definitely harder than anyone in Berkshire County throws. Her rise ball was, I think, probably better than anyone in Berkshire County.
That's what Lennox coach Amy Pyers and Grace Giuliano both talked to me about. It's about, you know, they couldn't handle her rise ball.
Yeah.
And you could tell. It's like when you watch a rise ball, it's not quite like when you watch in baseball the so-called Little League high fastball that nobody can hit. You know, this starts, you know, belt high and goes up.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're swinging. By the time they're done swinging, they're swinging at eye level because of the way the ball goes up, and it seemed like the Lennox hitters were late on a lot of lot of swings.
Yeah.
But you know, all credit goes to Carlin. She's a 200+ strikeout pitcher, and
you just sense it coming. They had these two or three little girls out in the left field, outside the stadium, like outside the fence, but along the left field fence, outfield, and they were putting up K, like the markered K.
I saw them,
and I was like, "Oh, this girl must be legit." Then, if you bring a caravan of kids doing that, and sure enough, 14 strikeouts. Like I said, at one point, I think she had struck out 8 of the first 9 outs, maybe, and it went maybe beyond that, 10 of the first 12, something like that.
And let's as good as she was, we have to tip the hat to Cassidy Flynn, who, as I look at my book, I think they only hit the ball really hard off of her maybe 5 times in the whole game. One of them was an RBI triple by Riley Rashi, who I presume is the coach's daughter. And Alger makes a great play in left field on one, but they didn't hit her particularly hard either. And she's only a freshman. And it would be fair to suggest that if her development graph continues as it should, she will be dominant in Western Mass by the time she's a senior. That doesn't mean it will be, but if you assume that the improvement graph doesn't level off, she's going to be terrific.
Yeah, I mean, if the team stays together and adds just numbers wise, they're very thin numbers wise. But the like Grace Giuliano is the only senior, so a program that should be continue to contend for this level of spot, for sure. It's just a numbers concern where I mean it's hard to compare it to baseball, but like coming off of the baseball game where Drury has 20 kids in the dugout, and
what's crazy
there with like 11.
What's crazy is Grace Giuliano, the only senior on the entire roster, and as a segue into the baseball game, Lennox had 8th graders on the corners. Lexi Witherell at first base, and Layla Souls at third base are both eighth graders. Mm-hmm. And the two young women on the bench are also eighth graders. They had four juniors, two freshmen, two eighth graders in their batting order yesterday. Mm-hmm. Which, and to think that team got to a state semifinal is crazy.
Yeah, it's the Lenox softball being good at all is a bit of a stunner for me over the last 3 years. But this level of good is kind of crazy to think about. And they compare. So I saw them there three weeks ago, whenever Western Mass Finals was, at that same location. And I think they made six or seven errors in the game, lost the Western Mass Final. So to see them play this game, I think just about clean throughout. They made one error late.
There was one error.
It wasn't even like it was a single plus an error kind of deal where they overthrow into second. But beyond
didn't
that, they
matter.
Made every play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They made just every play was made that was in front of them. Flynn coming off the mound to field a couple bunts really well. Grace Giuliano was excellent at shortstop. Lily McDonald is one of the better defenders I've ever seen in softball, coming out of second base. Like I said, the outfielders made a couple big catches. Markiara Jackson in center field as well. So it was cool. It was a great game. Yeah, 2-0 pretty much the entire game. They tacked on three runs in the sixth, bottom of the sixth. So take that what you will. 5-1 is the final. But yeah, great game. Both were pretty excellent games, I would say. Completely worthy of being in that game. It's not like not like they went out there and got blown out. So
no, and there's nothing, you know, and when teams play well, it's the it can be the most entertaining afternoon. Mm-hmm. And both teams played well. One team was better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And as I used to always tell my youngest, who was an athlete, you can lose or you can get beat. And I was talking about this yesterday with Cliff Flynn Jr., who former Lenox baseball player who was there, you know, supporting his sister.
Okay.
And we were talking about that. I said, yeah, you never want to blow a game. You know, but if the other guys are better, you know, you're okay. You're kind of okay with losing. You never want to lose. And in this case, you just have to tip your hat to Maynard and say, okay, good luck on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. And they will. They advance to the. I don't know who they're playing because the other game was going late last night. But that does it for softball for Berkshire County. And yeah, I just like my one take on Berkshire County softball is just that seeing that girl pitch and seeing what Berkshire County offered for pitching this year is just there was a gap. And I'm excited that some of these Berkshire County pitchers, Cassidy Flynn included, Evelyn Giuliano, their other pitcher, is a sophomore. Wakona's pitcher, Julia McComish, I believe is a freshman. So a lot of young pitchers, and I'm excited to see them kind of become that exciting level of softball pitcher that we saw there, striking out 14 girls, but just girls who can really sling it. And we kind of missed that this year.
She was very much in the style of former Wakona ace Avery Vale Cruz,
mm-hmm.
Who, when I watched her pitch, I kind of made me think of her. Mm. But young pitchers getting better, young hitters getting bigger and stronger and getting better. And and while obviously Lenox deserved to win its round of eight game, it would have been interesting to see what the Hoosick bats
on that bat. Yeah, that pitcher,
what the Hoosick bats could have done against them. Although I think it would have been a different game because I think Flynn pitched better than Gracelyn Wright had down the stretch, and we might still be there because it might be one of those 12-10 games.
For sure. All right. I'm going to take a quick break here, and then we will touch on Drury baseball coming off their Final Four, second straight Final Four appearance for the Blue Devils in just a minute.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference. Wonder what happened to those great local PCTV channels? Did you lose them? No worries, they're still there. Go to cable channels 1301, 1302, and 1303 to watch the best local content on television. News and information, sports and entertainment, city council, school committee, July 4th parade. It's all there waiting for you. Pittsfield Community Television. For over 30 years, we are still your local television.
All right, welcome back. Bird's Eye View, Mike Walsh here. Howard Herman joining me this morning. Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. I just had to peel open a cheese stick there for the little one roaming around. So, we're doing Final Fours. MIAA state tournaments come to a close for Berkshire County. The state championship games will be at Polar Park and at Worcester State this weekend, Friday, Saturday. But, as Howard mentioned off the top, I guess lacrosse is happening this weekend as well. I don't know where they play those. When Wakona was in it a few years ago, it was at Worcester State. But no Berkshire County teams. One Western Mass team, Longmeadow Boys Lacrosse, I guess still kicking it in D2 boys lacks. So, Drury baseball, a second straight trip to that game was at Fitton last year. Yes,
that game was both games were at Fitton.
Yes, yeah, I wasn't there last year. But back to back trips to Fitton Field for the MIAA D5 Final Four. Back to back games against English High School Bulldogs out of I think they're in Jamaica Plain.
Yeah,
and unfortunately back to back roadblock by the Bulldogs was the headline in the paper and. Pretty much that was what happened. Drury was good enough to play in a state championship game, in my opinion, watching the game. A better team was there as well.
A better pitcher. And it was interesting because last year's game, as you might remember from what I wrote from the covering
9-7,
that game.
Yeah.
But it was, Drury scored 6 runs early,
mm-hmm.
and then English came back and scored, took the lead with, I think, 7 runs, and really beat up starting pitcher Connor Hinkle in that game, and then he settled in mm-hmm. and was terrific the rest of the game.
Mm.
But Drury couldn't get anything else matched up. Mm-hmm. And as the segue was, Drury does lose key guys. But 5 members of their starting 9 mm-hmm. are back next year, including two of the three pitchers, that they depended on down the stretch, and J.J. Prengruber, who started in the state semifinal, Braden Durant, and Jake McAllister pitches. It's not. The cupboard won't be bare for them. Certainly, losing a bat like Connor Hinkle will be an issue. Obviously, he didn't mm-hmm. pitch all year,
mm-hmm.
and Carson Rylander missed half the year with mm-hmm. a broken wrist, so he didn't pitch much this year. And, they always talk about next man up, and it's somewhat cliched,
mm-hmm.
but if you look at what happened up in North Adams this year— it was as legitimate next man up as mm-hmm. you could imagine. Maddox Cook, the second baseman, 8th grader,
mm-hmm.
comes off, because they needed him, and he played like an upperclassman.
Yeah. The Final Four, their middle infield was freshman 8th grader. and said freshman Braden Durant had pitched a complete game shutout in the quarterfinal to get them to this game. It's a legit program that how long has Jutras been there?
5 years,
it's
maybe.
Been about 5. I said he's, that in the interview, and I was also, like, I don't know that for sure. Yeah, uh-oh.
He's also and he's also a Drury alum.
Okay, yeah. That was a familiar name, but yeah, the program that he's built seems pretty sustainable, given that you will be losing 2 college level arms. Who, granted, like you said, you didn't really have a ton of this year. Both were in the dugout. Connor Hinkle DH'd in this game. So, like I said off the top, the games Lennox and Drury were very similar. Drury goes out there against Luis Mejia, who was an impressive physique, a giant kid on the mound. And they go out there first ups. Luis Mejia walks Julian Feliciano on 5 pitches. Wild pitches him all the way around to third. I think it may have just been one wild pitch, and he went first to third because the catcher couldn't find the ball at Fitton.
And at Polar and at Fitton Field, There's a lot of distance between home plate and the backstop.
A lot of room, some tricky dugout stuff there as well. But then he walks Connor Hinkle, also on five pitches, sets up first and third. And so, obviously, as a reporter, it's hard to know what the signs are, what the call was. But Hinkle appeared to try to get into a rundown in order to, you know, get into a pickle. Feliciano takes home, that kind of deal. But he ran maybe too far, like three quarters of the way down the base path, and then like wasn't quick enough to turn back. Looked like he like looked at Feliciano. Feliciano hadn't left yet. And then he just got tagged, tagged like in the middle of the base paths. And it's like an embarrassing looking thing that you were, you know, you were trying to draw this up. And that kind of wind out of the sails a little bit in that, yeah, you had first and third, nobody out. And then Mejia strikes out Prengoober, gets a ground out by Lucas Hamilton.
Yeah.
To end the inning. So yeah, you had first and third, nobody out, and this guy hasn't thrown, he's thrown two strikes and 10 pitches, and they kind of just outright let him off the hook.
It is very, it's nearly identical to what happened in the softball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you are the underdog, mm-hmm. so to speak, at least by your seed,
mm-hmm.
you got to jump on a team early.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a chance in that, based on your description, to get a couple of runs early and put Mejia and put English behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't do that, that gives the other dugout a little bit more confidence as well. And as you know, and as well as Prengoober pitched, they just, you know, Mejia just didn't let him get any more opportunities.
No, it was coming into the second inning, after Prengoober pitched out of his own kind of mini jam in the bottom of the first, Jake McAllister hits a double, absolutely crushed a ball to way, like I'm sure at a lot of fields would have been out, but we're at D1 college level ballpark here at Fitton, and goes for a double, steals third, and gets again stranded there. Three straight Ks, two of which were looking. So, another reporter asked it, like, you know, was the strike zone pretty big? And it sounded like that was part of the case, because there were a bizarre amount of backwards Ks throughout the game on both sides. But yeah, it just seemed like, you know, even that first inning, whatever it did to affect Drury, was just like, oh, all right. And for a team that I've credited all postseason long with being like the best, one of the best vibes teams I've ever seen, it just got a little off. There, so they strand, you know, guy on third in both the first and second innings, and then don't get another base runner until one out in the fifth, when Braden can, and at that point they're already down, that might be just 1-0 at that point. Yeah, 1-0 at that point. And this is another one that's just it'll kind of get lost in the shuffle of things, but it was 1-0. Braden Canales walks. They probably tried to pick him off six times, I want to say, between the, you know, the catcher threw down once or twice, pitcher tried to pick him off a few times. Eventually, he is called for a balk. So Canales goes to second. He's called for a balk again. He goes to third. In the meantime, Maddox Cook is up in a pretty long at bat. I believe it gets to a full count. And Canales is balked home. Like, that's just what the call was. Like, he comes driving home, screams. They put the big D chain on him that's been Drury's signature this postseason. He goes into the dugout. You said you were watching Game Changer. It goes 1-1. And then it was like a minute later, all of a sudden, the English coaches are out there, and they're, I believe, arguing that he was pitching from the stretch, in which case it wasn't a balk, which I guess. Either way, that wound up being the call. Jutras didn't really argue it too much. Drury, like, the players were obviously very upset. Canales is forced out of the dugout, goes back, puts his helmet on, goes back to third. And but still, like, you have a guy on third, one out, you're okay. Get a ball in play somewhere, tie this game up. Maddox Cook unfortunately swings through strike three, and then it's two outs. Noah Arnold is up. And he does put a serious drive into a ball to, like, deep down the right field line, that just, they had the right fielder managed to track down. I couldn't honestly see it. It was so deep in the corner, the end of the play. But Yeah, another so third runner left on third base. Winds up being a 3-0 game, which is a killer when you consider you had three guys 90 feet from tying that game. It affected Drury to the level. They go out in the field. Noah Arnold, unfortunately, drops, just like misjudged a short liner coming in from center field. Couldn't handle it. Got by him, and he was slow to react. So the right fielder had to run over and get it. Made another diving effort. Unfortunately, dropped another ball. mishandled another one. He was kind of getting tortured out there in center field, unfortunately. They wind up scoring two more runs, and then it's 3-0, and then Drury's, way kind of, like, you're buried at that point. If you can't figure out a comeback from 1-0, 3-0 seems like a 10-0.
Especially if you're not getting hits.
They had two hits. Only two hits, one of which was that McAllister double. Connor Hinkle hit beat out an infield single, really, like a third baseman tried to barehand it. So that was their two hits, one of which was a big double. Other than that, no balls were really, other than the Arnold one, I guess. Connor Hinkle was tough end for him, was caught stealing a second time after that. So then they go down 1-2-3 in the seventh, and that's kind of the end of their season. But like we talked about, the story that wasn't really the story of their season. And getting to this, back-to-back Final Fours, being on the verge, playing a team like English. I don't know, you got to chat with that coach, schedule them regular season or something. That'd be cool, develop these rivalries. We've seen it, Monument and Clinton, in basketball.
They should start playing each other home and home.
Yeah, I mean, North Adams and Boston have, the La Festa thing, so kind of link it together, I guess. But a tough end. Didn't really mention, Pren Gruber pitched very well. Got out of a handful of jams, had, I believe, 8 Ks himself, had, I think, 6 through 3 innings. Just got really only hit hard a couple of times, and like I said, 2 errors in that 2-run inning that they had. So a great game from him. Braden Durant will be back. He pitched a complete game shutout against East Keefe Tech.
If you think about it, of all of Berkshire County's baseball teams, the two teams that one will be dependent on how healthy he is, that come back with the best pitching staffs are Drury and Mount Everett.
It would be hard to argue otherwise.
Pittsfield loses. I mean, Pittsfield's obviously got arms to spare. They have a ton of young
kids
guys.
They
have a ton of young guys who are waiting their turn. Mm-hmm. But just based on what they've done this year,
I don't know that any of those kids are Simon Melly, Jay Cody, Matt Egan.
No. Or Matt Egan, even.
Yep.
And Wacona loses, Rebuse, McLaughlin, and Luke Ferguson. And the other team that might have,
Quentin Christopher's gone, O'Donnell's will be gone.
Yes, and the only other team that might have good young pitching coming back might be Lennox.
Mason Daly should be back.
And Robbie Bazinet, who started pitching again this year and was really good for them down the stretch. So there could be, And although you expect Wacona to always have pitching and hitting because of the Little League program and the youth programs in Dalton.
Yep.
And you anticipate that Pittsfield High School will have a bunch of good arms next year.
Yep.
But they lose a ton. Maury Freed graduates, Jackson Almeida graduates, Cody graduates. The whole top, of their order is gone. So we'll have to see how kind of rebuilding job Drew Pierce can do in the offseason.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not gonna have enough time to talk about the what happened at Clatt Park on Saturday. But we'll do a post mortem with Jesse in a couple weeks here. It was as quiet as Clatt Park at Buddy Pellerin Field has ever been, in my opinion. There when they lose 9-0.
And I think we talked about it on the podcast, which you can still listen to online. But down the stretch, it seemed like Pittsfield's offense did just enough to win games. They weren't producing the 12, 15 runs that they had been producing earlier in the year. So, sooner or later, that comes back to bite you.
For sure. Yeah, they Pittsfield High unfortunately finishes the season without scoring a run over 13 straight innings, and that's really the end of it. But all right, thanks to Howard Herman, Western Mass Baseball Hall of Famer Howard Herman. I'm Mike Walsh. This has been Bird's Eye View here on WTBR FM Pittsfield, WSBR Lee. We'll talk to you down the road.